and her children. Some debate whether this is a lady that this letter was written to, as the third John is written to Gaius, a man. That is acceptable. Most people take this as written to the church. Either is applicable. Whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also who know the truth. Because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever, grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and in love. I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. That basically says it all. Like Gary said, truth is mentioned several times here, 5 times here, and it's commanded. It abides in us. We abide in it. It comes from God. It comes from Jesus Christ. It is commanded of us. Let's talk about truth some, because in reality, honestly, that is what's come down to what is happening in our society, what is happening in our world, and most concerning of all is what is happening in the church. It's happening in the church, and it was promised to happen. Not a positive promise. It's a negative promise. It's a prophecy of warning that this was going to happen. Now, you may know John, but when John wrote, he had a particular mission. John was a particular man. He was appointed to speak the truth about love and commandments and the deity of Jesus Christ. Those were really his mantle. Those are his mantles. So I want to talk about what truth is. And last week, we talked about some natural laws. We talked about gravity. We talked about all those kinds of things. And if you didn't hear that message, please go listen to it. It may help you. There's a video on YouTube or audio online. Go listen to those natural laws. We know that God appointed the natural laws, and that men are using God's natural laws and, in fact, incorporating them into their own lives. Now, I want to suggest this is what's happening when that happens. When I use natural laws and the natural laws of men, those are base laws. Those are low-level laws. And you say, well, God's creation isn't low-level. No, it's high-level, but remember, mankind is the peak of creation. So we're stepping down when we're using magnetism. I'm going to draw you to me and away from the church or away from somebody else. A vacuum. I'm going to fill a vacuum of somebody's relationship or somebody's need. I'm going to fill it myself. That's using a base law against somebody else, contrasting what the natural use was for it. God gives us spiritual laws. He wants us to live above those and to be steward over gravity, over those things. And we can't control them, but we're to be steward over God's creation. So, but we go back to Genesis 1, and we're going to talk about another natural law, but it comes with a very specific and very useful principle of truth. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. So remember, this is King God. He's sitting in his throne and he said, let there be light. There's the decree. There's going to be light. You can't stop it. It comes right from the throne of heaven. There's the decree of light. And so there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning. The second day, there's a couple more decrees happening within these few verses that we're going to get to that is so important. You know, Lord, why are you starting with creation? Is that the argument that we need to hold on to? We need to fight for the six-day creation, yes. Do we need to fight that, you know, such and such and such and such, how this is how it worked and all those kinds of things? No, we don't. We don't need to fight for it. We just need to point it out in the Word and try to explain it. But there is a bigger fight. And the bigger fight is God is creator. Because that's what men have forgot. That's what mankind, and even Peter says, we suppress it. We suppress the truth that there was a creation and there's a sovereignty and there's a responsibility of man to the creator. And then remember what Peter says. He goes on, he says, but because of this, and even Romans chapter 1, because we suppress this truth, judgment is coming. In fact, judgment's here. Judgment's here. So we say, okay, well, the Lord created the light on the first day. Well, where's the sun? Where's the source of the light? See, remember, in Genesis 1, God created the heavens and the earth, but the earth was void and dark. Remember that? Now, he's doing this for a reason. He's telling us for a reason. Because he's the source of light. You see, the decree is the source of light. It's not the sun. The sun doesn't come till the fourth day. The fourth day, the lights show up in the heaven. And this is why mankind can say, well, this is ridiculous. This doesn't make any sense. This is not science. Well, you're right. It's not science. It is God's science, right? Because you can have light without the sun. Hey, listen. At the end of Revelation, all you got to look there in the end of Revelation. There is no what? Sun. There's no sun. How are we going to see? The Father and the Lamb is its light. See, the source is God. The source of everything truthful is God. They'd say, where's your source? Well, it's there. The source is right there. You see, there's no moon and there's no sun, but the source is there. Let there be. That's the source. So when somebody asks you, where's the source? You just say, right there. God's command. Oh, now, see, at that point, oh, I'm out. Because I don't want to give me this God stuff, right? But see, you and I believe this. And from here, all the rest of the dominoes fall. Because when he says, let there be, it is, okay. Now I got the emphasis of the entire rest of the book. We're on board with him. Like all the other royal decrees from heaven, the laws of motion and gravity and vacuum and space and all that stuff, light is decreed. And it's the first thing that's decreed, and we should take note of it. Simply because somebody doesn't believe it doesn't mean it's not truth. They can accept it as a lie if they wish, but we must come to grips with this. And so, why is God starting with darkness and then creating light? He's telling us a story. He's telling us a narrative. He's telling us something that is most important. It's in the first book of the Bible. It's so important that God is creating light for a reason. Light emanates from one source. 1 John 1:4. We write these things so that our joy may be complete. And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. You see the connection of light and truth? Light and truth. Light is the picture of truth. In verse 2 of Genesis 1, God is hovering over the darkness. He's like a mother hovering over its brood, his creation. He's hovering over it, and he doesn't like where it's sitting. So he says, I'm going to create light, and it's the first thing that he does. And he does it by his spirit, His power, His might, and why, what else? His word. He speaks it, and it happens. Corinthians 4:6. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So let there be light. And it's God's law. Now in verse 2 of our text in 2 John, it says, this light abides in us. How does it happen? We know it happens by the Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how you're born again. When you accept His word and you receive His Spirit, you are born again, and the light has shined into your heart. So let's just do some basic concepts here, okay? One, God is the source of truth. We have that, right? That's Genesis 1. He's the light. Light comes from Him, from His decrees and His word. So God is the source of the light, and God is the source of the truth. Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the God of truth, meaning He's the source. Number two, Jesus is the source. Let's say you can't have both. In our world, we can. In our belief, we can. In the Word of God, you do. We believe this. We're not the one that said it. We believe it. So who's the source of truth? God. Who is the source of truth? Jesus Christ. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the Word, and we have seen His glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:17, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. He's the source. Argue with the Scriptures. And none of us here will, right? This is basic laws, basic spiritual laws, and yet, see, this is the simplicity of the gospel, and this is against the wisdom of the world, and that's why they don't accept it. But we do, as a very basic truth, and yet it's the highest truth. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am, and you all know this by heart, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Well, Jesus, you're being kind of arrogant, aren't you? I mean, you just stepped into Deuteronomy 32 there, and now you're in place of Yahweh there. And no, I'm not in place of Yahweh. I'm with Yahweh. I am Yahweh. We are Elohim, right? Elohim, plural for God. One God. John 1:4. He's the light of men, the light. And John, and then in 8:12, He's the light of the world. So the light is the truth. So you see what's kind of happening here? That in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then go back to Genesis 1. There was chaos or darkness in the beginning, and then He created light. You see what's happening? And by the way, Colossians says He created all things. So you have these parallel scriptures. You have these parallel books of the deity of Jesus Christ in John and throughout His epistles and in Genesis and on. It's wonderful how some 2,000 years later, the Lord is just putting every brick in place, and then, boom, He reveals His Son. Boom, He reveals His Spirit. Boom, He reveals His church. John 8:32, He said to the Jews, you have believed Him. If you continue in My word, you are truly My disciples. Then you will know the truth. There were some believing Jews at that point. Now, this is apropos. This is very interesting. I did not start this sermon or go looking for a sermon to build around what happened here in the last 2 weeks. I went looking for truth. I went thinking, okay, where do we go from here? What next? And we're going to talk about a series of these things that are what's happening next. This is apropos, that is what has happened in the last 2 weeks. There was a Methodist pastor. His name is Cleaver. He is a representative of Missouri. And you remember, at the end of his prayer, he mentioned some idol. I don't want to say God, little g, but idol. He prayed in the name of Brahma, a Hindu god. And then he finished, and you remember, everybody's laughing about it, except for those who don't believe in God. Everybody's laughing that he ends his prayer with amen and a woman. A woman, by the way. And at that point, you lose God-fearing, Bible-believing people. You make us angry. I was angry. And then flustered and like unbelievable, like you just got to be kidding me. That just did not come out of his mouth. Because any pastor, whether he's Methodist or anything, knows that that's not what amen means. So I came across this and it was just striking. Amen is in the Bible 146 times in the New Testament. 32 times in Matthew. 32. 13 times in Mark. 8 in Luke. Matthew 5:18. When he says, I tell you the truth, in your Bible, every time you say, you see, I tell you the truth, you should write in amen. Because that's what it means in the Greek. Matthew 5:18, I tell you the truth. Amen, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke of a letter will pass from the law. Okay? Says it again, over and over. I tell you the truth, they have the reward. I tell you the truth, such faith is not found in Israel. I tell you the truth, this generation, on and on. You get it. Amen. Go look in the Greek. Amen. And if it was a literal translation for us, it would be helpful to say, amen. And then we would go, oh yeah, he means truth. Truly. In truth, I say this. That's in Matthew. 32 times. But in John, 50 times. Why so many? There's only 22 chapters. Why 50? Well, this is really interesting. And to be frank with you, I didn't know this. That in every place that Jesus speaks and says amen in John, he says it twice. In every place. Now, in your English Bibles, you're going to come across 51 times. The last amen is at the end of the book. It's probably written by a scribe. It's not in the earliest manuscripts. Somebody put it in there one time. That breaks the parallel, and I don't agree with that. That's generally in the New King James Version and one or two others. In most versions, and I think the ESV takes it out. It's not there. Why? Because Jesus always said it twice, which is astounding. Astounding, I should say. I can't even talk. It's astonishing that every time in John, he decides to say, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In Greek, amen, amen. You're repeating yourself, Lord. He says, what he's saying is, I'm telling you the solemn truth. Twice. John 3:5. Truly, truly, amen, amen, I say to you. Why so many amens? In John, going back to John, the gospel, in the beginning was the Word. Okay, we mentioned this, but who and what is the Word? And the Word was with God. If we stopped there, we'd say, okay, yeah, he's got a Bible there, or he's got his words coming out of his mouth. But watch what it says. And the Word was God. And then the pronoun he was in the beginning with God. He. It's a pronoun. It's in the Bible. It's in the, you know, the Greek. The Greek is so, just talk to Gary, talk to somebody. The Greek is so specific. They got dozens and dozens of endings on every one of their words. You know exactly who they're talking about. Who the Holy Spirit is talking about. He, what? He, the Word, was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. Now, so, okay, we've turned the Bible into a pronoun, to a Him? No, that's not what it said. It's saying there was a person with God in the beginning. This is why the Jehovah Witness in particular, but others, can't stand this. They go in and rewrite their, no, that's not what it says, and they make the Greek say something else. No, this is talking about the Word, and then, of course, you know, in the first this first epistle that John goes on, and I mean the first chapter here, that John goes on and describes this Word, who this guy is. And this is where he says grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. It's a Him. That's why he's saying, I'm telling you twice, because it's the truth. It's the truth. He's the Logos. So God is the truth. Jesus is the truth. And the Spirit is the truth. John 14, 17, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. John 14, 13, however, when the Spirit of Truth comes, the Spirit of Truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, but He will speak what He hears, and He will declare to you what is to come. He will glorify Me, taking from what is Mine and disclosing it to you. So now you see what we have. We have the Father and the Son and the Spirit, and they're all the source of truth. They're all one. They never contradict each other. If we have a problem with the Scriptures, we're the problem. We need to fix it. We need to find and try to understand Him. We don't toss them out. The Scripture is the source of truth. Daniel 10:21, the Scripture of truth. John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth. Your Word is truth. Now, when I say Scripture, remember, I'm talking about the original Word of God when He spoke it. Okay? And we have these translations, and we need to be careful to work through them. But the Word is to be believed. And we can trust this Bible, and we can go through all that. We've done lessons on that. We can trust the Bible. It is the Word of God. It's what we stand in and stand on. If you want to know God's mind, pick it up. You don't need a prophet. Remember, Hebrews says they're done, basically. They're done. In these last days, He has spoken through His Son, Jesus Christ. We don't need another prophet. And in fact, if one comes, the little hairs on the back of your head just got to stand up just a little bit. You know how many prophecies have come out? People saying this. I mean, good people saying this is going to happen by October. Didn't happen. What's going to happen by the end of November? Didn't happen. Going to happen by the end of December? Didn't happen. Good pastors. And to this day, they're still getting tens of thousands of people on YouTube. Now, I don't know if they get caught up in something or did he have a dream? Yes. Do these people have these things? Maybe. But you better align it with the truth. You better align it with the Word. And not go on YouTube and all of a sudden say, something's going to happen on this day. That's a concern. So back to 2 John. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new command, but the one we have had from the beginning, and we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to His Word, His commandments. Okay? Remember, from day one, let there be light, that's a commandment. So we understand that. Okay? So His whole Word is commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning. Is that Genesis 1? Or John chapter 1? Or both? In the beginning, so that you should walk in it. So we're walking in it. We're picking up the Bible. We're reading more. I understand that. I get that. I believe that. I don't understand that, but I believe it. Oh, that's a hard one. Chip, chip, right? Hurt, hurt. And He kind of tears our own ego down. And then, verse 9, everyone goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ, does not have God. Do you know what God did between the light and the darkness in Genesis 1? What did he do? He separated it. See, that's another law. I'm getting ahead of myself. Whoever abides in this teaching has both the Father and the Son. Whoever abides in this teaching, this word, abides in the source of the light, the Father, Son, and the Spirit. That's where we have to be. That's where we have to be at every cost, at every turn. No matter what you hear, well, that sounds intriguing. That sounds, oh, man, I'm going to listen to this guy. I'm going to follow this guy. Only to find out that they don't have anything to do with the word of truth. And they're coming up with some conspiracies about what's happening and what's going to happen. And we're going to get lulled away. There are good people getting lulled away right now into deception and conspiracies. See, we're justified by the light. John 15, you're already clean. You're justified. You're saved. You're sanctified by the light. You're built up and established and strong by the light. John 17:17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. We're set apart by the light. We're rewarded by the light. Ephesians 5:26. Sanctify her, cleansing her, washing her through the water of the word. And we shall know the truth. John 8. And it shall set us free. We are saved by the truth and sanctified and judged and freed by the light. So John 5. Now because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews began to persecute him. But Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now, and I'm working. You remember in the first day the light was created. In the second day, the expanse was created. In the third day, the earth sprouted vegetables and green plants. And then, in Genesis 1:14, on the fourth day, God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky. Why? To separate. Now, what are they up there for? Now we who love prophecy, we like to get into the appointed days and appointed feasts and the moon and the sun comes around and sets the calendars for the Jews and whatever. We like to talk about that stuff, but let's talk about the initial overriding decree by God. Let there be light. What's it for? To separate. Why? You see, when Jesus came and to heal that man in John chapter 5, remember, he healed that man on the Sabbath. And right from then, the death sentence was sealed. Because, first of all, he claimed to be God, and now he's working on the Sabbath. And now Jesus is saying, me and my Father are working. Wait a minute. I thought God was resting. On the seventh day, God rested. Didn't he? He rested on the seventh day. That's why we must keep a Sabbath. Well, what's he doing working on the Sabbath? Because God's not done. In fact, God stood up. He stood up. Exodus 31:17. The Sabbath is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel. That is the sixth day. Six days God made the heaven and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested. That word rested is he quit work. He was done with his work. Okay? And then it says, and was refreshed, or the word there is better termed satisfied. So now, oh, Lord, you need a rest because 7 days, I mean 6 days, that was a ton of work. And you're wore out and you need to settle that rest. And I told Sonia this morning again, Gary's preaching half my sermon this morning. And he said this, God doesn't grow weary. Isaiah 40:28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. He doesn't grow weary. So Lord, what are you doing resting? Because he's satisfied. He's satisfied right up until when? Chapter 3 of Genesis. Boy, it sure didn't take us long to get there, huh? Chapter 3. Chapter 1 and 2, light decrees, wonderful commands of love and all this kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, chapter 3, boom. And so that's the key. That is the issue. God is back to work. He's back to work. That's why Paul says, don't let any man tell you what Sabbath day or celestial day or any, celebration day to keep. Keep a day. Don't let any man tell you. You and I think we keep the Sabbath day, honestly, every day. Because we're in the rest of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1. There's a Sabbath day rest. But I'm telling you, God's back to work. Jesus Christ is back to work. Today, me and my Father are at work up until this day, Jesus said. So, the point is that light is a spiritual principle, and there has to be a division between light and darkness. Now, when this stuff began to, can I say politely, hit the fan, if you saw President Trump's speech, that inauguration day, he called it an explosion, and I won't tell you what exploded. But it's the same concept. That we were talking about this morning. See, there's no more deception. The lie is outright. It's right in our face. Don't we see it? They say what they want, and I saw Gary's face again this morning. He's going, how can they? And we're just flustered that they can even get these words out of their mouth. They speak these lies right into our face saying, you're sheep and you're going to take it. You're going to do what we say. Somebody said, Nancy Pelosi's losing control or whatever. And I said, no, she's not losing control. She's in control. She's in control, and that's the problem. And who's, now we can get into who's turning her over to it. We'll get into that as some other time. But the fact, the point is that there was chaos in Genesis 1. The Lord appointed the light, and the first reason he appointed it was, I got to separate the darkness. And so once Israel, again, I like to use this illustration, they're sitting around the campfire listening to Moses. And it's dark outside. And he gets to the first day, and he's creating light. Wait, so where's the moon and the sun? You and me go, okay, now we know the source. We know the source. Do you want to know that there's a God? Watch Israel. You want to know that there's a God? Watch the church. Not a church. Watch the church. You want to know that there's a God? Watch the world. As they raise up against him, Psalm chapter 2. Watch the division, because God is at work. And he's about to do Genesis 1, first day. In fact, he already is. You want to know there's a God? Look up in the sky and see the moon. And see the sun reflecting off the moon. Look at the sun, but don't look at it directly. You look at the celestial beings and you go, God put them there. Why? Oh, to separate the darkness. Because that's a principle. And I'll tell you what, more than ever, besides the birth of Jesus Christ, where the angels are glorifying God and light, and the black heavens just lighten up, more than that is today. We're seeing a division of the light and darkness like never, ever before. So, a so-called prophet the other day said, you have God and you have the Word, but it doesn't become real and truthful until you experience it. And I would say, it's truth whether you experience it or not. It is truth. It is not us. It is not God who has to change and God to try to get us, to motivate us to experience it. He fills us with His Spirit and He fills us with His love. But if we don't move toward the light, we're going to be either status quo or moving left. And we need to be motivated to move to the right. I want to show you what happened here. This is Adam Kinzinger. He is a representative, a Republican from Illinois. This is what he texted or tweeted or something the other day. I believe there's a huge burden on the pastors and the clergy who openly spread the conspiracies of a stolen election. Like Robert Jeffress, Behold Israel, Franklin Graham, among many others, to admit their mistakes and lead their flocks out of darkness to truth. Kinzinger tweeted, calling out South Baptist pastor Robert Jeffress, founder of Behold Israel, Amir Safadi, and evangelical leader Franklin Graham. Now, if we focus on the election right now, we could get entangled in a whole discussion, and I'd rather not. But you see what's happening here. They're censoring the right, and I've said this a couple times in the last week. They're going to start with the right. They're going to start with Republicans are in trouble. They're trying to kick Republicans out of Congress. So they're going to start with the right. But do you think that they're going to end there? Because where's the source of the truth? It's in the Word. It's in God. It's in Jesus. It's in the Spirit. But did you know, by the way, Amir responded and said, there's no burden here. I haven't changed my mind, and close to 80 million Americans haven't either. So he says, I don't have a burden about this, but watch this. What's the church in all this? I hope to come and see you soon, but I'm writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God. That sounds like Jesus, kind of. He went away, and if I delay, just keep acting this way. Which is the church of the living God? Watch what the church is. A pillar and a buttress of truth. Is that fantastic or what? Listen, folks, it isn't Nancy Pelosi you have to worry about. It isn't Mr. Biden. It isn't his gray-haired cronies that he's hiring back from the Obama and Clinton and Bush administrations. It's not. It's the principalities and the powers of the air. But listen, you have this little cornerstone. Actually, it's the big cornerstone. Jesus Christ. He's the cornerstone. And then off of that cornerstone, when you build a building, you get that straight cornerstone. Now you have straight foundations. Who's the foundations? The apostles and the prophets, the Bible says. Right? So you got the cornerstone, you got the foundation. Where's the building? Peter says it's us. The church says we're the pillars and the buttresses. And then guess what? Who's the capstone? Jesus Christ. We are going in to some dark times that have never, ever been seen on the planet. And probably really the darkest times that the United States has ever faced. Now, I'm going to say this cautiously, okay? The Bible says that when everybody's crying peace and safety, all of a sudden destruction, okay? So we need to be careful for that whenever that day is. I think that's the tribulation or whatever. But what I am saying is this. That with Biden in control now and his administration, and not just him, around the world, the WHO organization and all this, they're ramping up to control people so they can stop climate change, so they can stop. By the way, who changes seasons? God. They, you know? So they're in the face of God. And this is not going to be so subtle anymore. And it's not now, is it? So, ladies and gentlemen, pick a side. Pick a side. It's time. Pick a side. You have a work. We have a work to do. We are the buttress and the fortress of the truth. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. You're going to stand before the Lord someday. And we saw, right? We saw, we were witnesses of everything that he was doing. And we're going to stand before the Lord someday. And he says, you're going to be approved. A workman doesn't need to be ashamed handling accurately the source. The source. God's word. Again, this morning, somebody was talking about book burning. Burning books in the Bibles in particular. They start with Hans Christian Andersen or something, you know. They start with Uncle Tom's Cabin, you know. They start with that. But this is the target. And ladies and gentlemen, you and me are the buttress of this word. And we're, I can tell you from this pulpit, and I can tell you from all of us who have talked and known each other, that we're not going to deviate. It's time to choose. Because that's what's coming next. Okay? Stand and let's sing this, the end of this song here. On every hand the foe we fight, drawn up in dead array. Let tents of ease be left behind, and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head, with truth all girt about. The earth shall tremble neath our tread, and echo with our shout. Faith is a victory, faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Lord, we worship you and we praise you, Lord. We lift our hands to you and our hearts, and we lift our tongues and our lips to proclaim your word. We still are in the presence of sin on this planet. We all make mistakes. We're all still fighting and struggling. But we have not struggled to the point of shedding blood. That was your work. So, Lord, take us through this fight. Help us to choose rightly. Who choose this day who we will serve. And, Lord, be courageous to stand the post and occupy until you come. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. Okay.